Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green, Rob the Python Mish, and we have brought in a new member to help class up the joint. The man, Ron Kantowski, joining us here in Provo, Utah. Let's give you a little round of applause, huh?
Golf clap.
Golf clap, golf clap.
It's only like a five-footer. Thanks, guys. Glad to be here, I think. Pretty late. And we're in Utah.
We're about the only ones in this town still awake, I'm pretty sure.
But bum. That's the first time we've done that.
Well, you know, we are here to talk about, believe it or not, the same team that lost on the road to Colorado State just a week ago. Comes into Provo, Utah tonight. Goes down 43-40 after playing just a stale first half. Comes back and the Rebels win 76-70.
Did you say 43-40?
43-30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say 40?
You did.
It's late.
What's wrong with
43? It's late and we're in Provo. You just never know.
But it was even worse than that. You know, you're mitigating it a bit. It was 32-15 and everything was pointing toward the Cougars. Yeah. And then big time, big game, Kendall Wallace stepped up to give him a little breath of fresh air.
Well, let's throw some more numbers in there while we're talking about this first half. UNLV gets out-rebounded 21-12, gets outscored in the paint 24-8. Points off turnovers, 9-0. Second chance points, 5-0. They really, Lon Kruger can't say it enough, the whole thing about being active and there being activity. And tonight was another example of it, just a stale first half for whatever reason. But in the grand scheme, it gets forgotten about with how amazing that second half truly was.
Well, and all those, Kruger said it best after the game, it was two halves, no yeah. doubt. It was a game of two halves. And everything that was going BYU's favor in the first half, you can just flop them around, and all those were in UNLV's favor in the second half. Isn't that right, Ronnie?
Yeah, I think there was, Rhino, you said for whatever reason, I think there was a reason why the Rebels didn't play. They were letting, BYU was releasing a guy early, and they were running their secondary break, and the Rebels were just letting them get to their spots or not contesting their layups. In the second half, that activity, I guess, that's going to be the catchword for this team, picked up, and BYU had to work for everything it got. It didn't get a whole lot. It didn't make very many shots to begin the second half.
No, they started 1 of 16 in the second half. Didn't get their second field goal in the second half until more than 14 minutes in. So, meanwhile, UNLV, they were being active, diving at loose balls and crashing the glass. Wound up out-rebounding BYU in the second half, 25-12, to even that category out. And just just chipped away very slowly, but they got there.
You know, we try to, all of us in this business, and you try to analyze things and overanalyze things, but really it comes down to, effort and want to and desire and hustle and those things that have been around since Dr. Naismith put the peach baskets on the wall way back when. And that was it. I mean, the second half they came out and played hard. You know, it sounds simple, but that's basically it. And they played hard and made the other team play harder than they had to play in the first half, and that was the difference.
You and Roy Williams love the want to. You know, that's the only other person I've ever heard talk about the want to.
Well, Captain Want To tonight was Wink Adams. I mean, he was also, Captain scored 22 points, but there was that one stretch that really impressed me. I think only there was three key plays that he made right in a row, and only one was actually shut up in the box score.
Yeah.
There was a loose ball that him and Jonathan Tavernary, the kid from Bishop Gorman, went after. Wink just wanted to, you say, ripped it right out of his hands and got and that was huge. It's just a hustle play. Then on the other end, not quite as significant play, but I think the Rebels were kind of scrambling, and Rene Rougeau drove the baseline, kind of got caught in the air, threw it back toward Wink, but the pass a little short. And Wink, instead of waiting for the ball to come to him, ran and met the pass. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those small things that you're really not going to see. And that was huge. And then I think that led up to that three-pointer he hit with the shot clock running out. So those three key plays, I think, was with 3 or 4 minutes to go in a game, those were all huge. But, he's a guy that's been doing that for a long time.
It was actually a two-pointer. It was one of many shots Wink took tonight that I thought looked like three, but it was a two.
Yeah.
And so he's the king of the 19-footers. but that's what it was. And he said he was even surprised it went in. He saw the shot clock at 5. He thought he'd make one quick dribble drive right, launch it, and he said he was even surprised. But to back up, what really started that whole thing was that dive and the floor burn for the ball. Yeah. Lou Hill said that can't be discounted at all because that's what this team needs. Lou Hill said, what did he say? He said, that's winning basketball right there. That's Rebels basketball. Mm-hmm. And it just kept them in everything.
And it was contagious, too. That was the thing. He was the guy that really seemed to take it upon himself in the opening portion of that second half and really got everybody else going because, you know what Rene Rougeau is going to do it. But he made a couple hustle plays after Wink was making – I mean, there were guys diving all over the place for balls. And Joe Darger was crashing the defensive glass yet again. He wound up with 7 defensive rebounds on the night. He had a big one late that wound up sending him to the free throw line. They hit 12 of 14 free throws after that buzzer-beating jumper that we talked about from Adams. They did all the things necessary to close a game out in a very – I mean – an environment that wasn't as tough as maybe we expected it would be, but it was still pretty loud.
Yeah, you know, it's still tough because this is a place they rarely lose. So, you know, it wasn't as loud as it normally is. They only had 12 or 13,000, almost 13,000 night, which is stunning, really. I don't know if it's Wednesday night. I know it's a little cold out here, but it's always cold here. I don't know what kept the people away. Maybe they were upset with that 19-point loss in New Mexico a little bit.
I know the Wednesday night party scene isn't, you know, incredibly hopping here.
Well, not compared to Thursday night, but... So we're not going to be around. We're going to miss out on that one.
Oh, darn.
So, you know, I remember I wrote earlier this year after they beat Louisville. I said, you know, this is as good as it gets, but I think this is better tonight. I really do. I haven't been around here a long time. This is, you know, the Louisville thing. This is just a place that nobody wins. I mean, it took a great team like Wake Forest to beat these guys here. They're the number one team in the nation. I don't think the Rebels are a great team by any stretch of the imagination, but tonight it took a great effort, at least in the second half, to beat a good BYU team.
Well, that ended, Wake Forest ended a 53-game home winning streak here by the Cougars. And actually what UNLV snapped tonight was a 25-game conference winning streak. And the previous team to beat the BYU on this court was UNLV, Cougars' first season here.
Right.
So you can talk a lot about padding a 53-game home winning streak with a bunch of Western Oregons and so forth.
Lamar.
Yes.
That's my favorite one on there.
Lamar.
I just had to throw that
there
in.
Should be a school named Odom and they should play each other.
Where is Lamar?
I don't know. But let's
Beaumont, Texas.
Leave it to
Billy
you to
Tubbs.
Know
Billy Tubbs' former school. That's where. And,
see,
yeah.
You would know that.
Where have you been on this radio show?
Hey, the Tubbs, man. He's one of my favorite guys of all. That's where he started, and from there he went to bigger and better places. I mean, you can't go to much smaller places. I have a friend right now that's the assistant basketball coach of Lamar, a guy that Rob knows. Sylvie Dominguez. He was at every Mountain West school. Well, he's coaching out Lamar.
Well traveled. So. He was at USC for a while.
He was at USC for a while.
Pac-10 stints,
right. He's been he worked for Utah. He recruited Andrew Bogut for Utah from Majerus. He was at Colorado State under Boyd Grant.
Wyoming.
He was in Air Force. He was at Wyoming.
Steve
he was
McClain,
at the only place he missed was like San Diego State. Yeah, and UNLV. Yeah. And he loved Lon. He had all the respect in the world for Lon. So I know there was a chance. But that's just little people you meet in this business. But he's at Lamar, so.
But let's back up. UNLV made 12 of 14 free throws in the final 10 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought he said 10 of 14.
I said 12.
Oh, well, we'll have to back up the tape. Anyway, so we were also talking about Rougeau.
It's late.
Earlier.
Your hearing is bad.
Okay, let's. I think you said 10. Anyway,
I didn't.
Rougeau was not his usual self. He only had 2 buckets tonight, and that's. I think it's the first time in 12 or 13 games he had that few field goals. So Rougeau was not his usual self, which put even more of an emphasis on Wink Adams. And we saw some slick baseline drives, hesitation moves by Wink that we haven't seen all season, if not ever. Wink said this was one of his finest performances. I think that's what he told you, right?
Yeah, and you know, I asked Rene Rougeau, when was the last time you saw him make a play like that? Or have a performance as dominating as that and take a game and put it on your shoulders. He said the last time they played BYU. And before we hear some stuff from Wink Adams, Rene Rougeau, and Lon Kruger, I wanted to propose a question to you guys about this because we're going to spin this thing forward after hearing from the guys. But, you know, we talked about that home court winning streak and BYU being so not used to losing and playing from behind at home. How much do you think that really works to an opponent's advantage when they play? It seems like that BYU team just didn't know how to handle playing from behind against UNLV. Maybe it was the shock of blowing that lead, but you know, Lee Kamard said, you know, this is just not something we're used to.
Shoes on the other foot, huh?
Yeah. Do you think that this is maybe something where, you know, teams are going to take notice if you can get up on these guys early at home and not be scared of them? you could maybe knock him into the, you could get him staggering a little bit early.
Well, that's the funny thing. Yeah, I think what this what UNLV did tonight kind of sends a little message like, hey, you don't have to be, you know, these guys aren't invincible anymore here. You know, they're not they're not Vince Papale at home like they used to be. You know, throw a little invincible reference in there for you.
Sweet,
that was awesome.
But you know, they had that, that cloak of invincibility. Now it's you know, it's been tattered a little bit by what the Rebels did tonight. So I think you got to have some teams that come in here that are, you know,
you got to punch the bully in the nose.
To make
the bully doesn't know how to react.
That's right. And it's like, and all of a sudden he's got to call the big nun to help him out, or whoever, you know, like the Catholic school of nuns to come and restore order on the playground. But no,
in Provo?
I think it's still going to take a good
Hello.
Team. Yeah.
But I'm bummed.
Like tonight, they had me in the Catholic section. I was way up on top, so.
But I'm bummed.
Anyway, getting back, I think it's still going to take a good, you know, you're going to have to show up to beat these guys here. It's not like, you know. But
it's not like they're a bunch of stiffs.
No, but I think it's going to make them think a little bit. And like I said, there's something for, the, you know, there's a thing deep in your mental processes that says these guys don't lose here. And so something's going to bad going to happen to us. Well, no, maybe teams will look at it a different way. Like, hey, UNLV beat them. We can do it too.
Well, and let's be fair too, or fair or whatever you want to call it, accurate. There was 13,000 people in that barn tonight, and a lot of that was students, and they were very loud, and they made a difference. They could have made a difference. They helped them get out to that big lead. But 10,000 empty seats? I know it's a weeknight. I know there's probably a lot of bowling alleys here to keep people busy, but 10,000 empty seats?
Well, I was going to say, somebody should have told Darger, because he could have some of his relatives come and fill up all those empty seats.
But I'm bummed.
I hate to break this up, and have, but we got to hear from Lon Kruger and Wink Adams, Rene Rougeau. Here they are talking about tonight's game. Take it away, guys.
Really, really proud of the guys. I mean, obviously, BYU's terrific, especially in here and being down 13 and a half like that. Then to go out and just kind of claw away and inch our way back into it and had some good stops defensively and made some shots. So, obviously, two different halves altogether, but proud of the effort, proud of the fight. And, again, especially it means a lot because we know how good BYU is. So, it means a whole lot. They knew that the first half BYU won all the battles. They got the loose balls. They, running out in transition like crazy. And that always has to be a priority when you play BYU, is to try to limit their transition. And it looked like the first half we were encouraging it. And we didn't handle that very well. We handled it much better in the second half. Wink was terrific. They just kept fighting. Had a couple when he got to the rim and didn't get anything out of it. And he just kept bearing in there and made a lot of good plays for us. Which we have to have, of course. We didn't have much activity in the first half, you know, whether it be on the boards or defensively or in transition, just not much activity. I think we knew what we wanted to do, and yet I think in the second half we went out and competed to get results a lot better.
I think now we're just playing, you know, certain halves good, but we got to learn how to play a whole game, you know, winning battles and gives ourselves a better chance to win the game and not even close. Definitely, you know, our whole thing coming in the second half, you know, we had to stop the transition because, you know, it's a team like to pass to half court and get two passes and get a three-pointer up. So second half, you know, we kind of took away some passes, you know, made them drive and forced some shots. And we were just glad we can get a lot of defensive rebounds and, you know, turn them into points. Winning here, you know, never won here. A lot of teams don't win here, you know, since I've been in college. I've never seen a lot of teams walk out here with a victory. And for us to be one, you know, it's an amazing feeling. You know, I can't really explain it right now. Definitely, you know, in the second half, you know, just have to leave it on the floor. You know, I just try to do whatever I can do, hit some shots and make some plays. And, you know, just like I said, a lot of guys stepped up tonight. You know, when I was off, you know, Trayvon hit some shots, Oscar hit some free throws, and definitely Kendall and Joe shooting the ball well. So a lot of guys played good tonight. Oh, man, it's just like a relief, you know. Now I can kind of leave UNLV, you know, with a chip on my shoulder saying I won at BYU now. But we know it's not going to be easy. You know, we still got some more games to play. And, you know, when March comes, when the whole thing is over, then we can celebrate. But right now, you know, we still got a lot more games to play.
Yeah, probably the best. You know, this is the toughest atmosphere. You know, this is definitely this might be even tougher than Louisville without a doubt. Seeing, you know, it's a conference rival, and you know, it gets real loud in here. You know, we just really were physical and real strong tonight, and I think that's what really helped us tonight. We were definitely more disappointed in ourselves, but you know, coach, you know, he definitely gave us a positive pep talk. You know, he definitely believes in us, so you know, we definitely believed in him and came out that first few minutes of the second half, and everyone, you know, just really played hard and made sure, you know, not trying to give up any buckets. You know, seeing if we really want this, you know, we just got to, it had to start tonight, basically. More than anything, coach had an emphasis on in practice, you know, to get to the rim more. You know, the whole team, whether it was Wings, Trevon, Oscar, it doesn't matter who it was, but whoever it was, you know, just really trying to get to the hole, you know, or make plays for people. And, you know, Wing definitely had his mind set on getting to the rack, you know, trying to get those guys in foul trouble. Just being prepared like never before, you know, having a great respect for your opponent, you know, coming into Utah, you know, coming off a big win against BYU, we can't get complacent at all, you know. It doesn't matter if we're at home or on the road, we just got to come out hard, you know, and from the start, you know, play like we did in that second half from the beginning, and I think that'll help us a lot.
All right, well, that's what they had to say. Before we move forward and talk about what just continues to become a cloudier and cloudier Mountain West race, another thing worth talking about tonight, Rob, this is something subtle that you and I have kind of taken notice to over the course of the year on the road. Now let's back it up a little. Yep. This starts back at UTEP, the first road game of the year. They came out in their red uniforms and all black shoes. And I remember, I think it might have been Kendall Wallace after that game who said it was kind of a unity building type thing. Now they wore that scheme on the road all the way up until TCU, where, oddly enough, the big guys were wearing black shoes.
Yep.
The guards wearing red and white.
Bigs in black, the smalls in red.
Same way at Colorado State.
Right.
And, you know, you start to wonder, because basketball players are, you know, they're not baseball players superstitious, but they're a little, they're quirky in their own right. And then tonight, everybody's back in the all blacks, and, you know, it turned out to be maybe not as little a thing as we thought.
There's more to it than that, too.
Yeah.
Because after we saw them wear the black at UTEP, I asked Kruger about it, and he didn't even notice. He didn't even remember what they wore. It didn't matter what they wore. To him, they all were in the same shoe.
Yeah.
So what? Red, black, didn't matter. They're in purple. They were all wearing purple. Well, then they come out, like we said, bigs in black, smalls in red, TCU, Colorado State. I asked him about it the other day, and it was funny how he said that he didn't notice anything, and he kind of dismissed it and discounted it. However, tonight they're all in black. Both Rene Rougeau and Wink Adams, seniors, captains, said that Kruger went to both of them and said, listen, whatever you wear, you all wear it. I think it was a thing where those first two road games, Rocky Rutledge, the equipment manager, whipped out some new red Nikes or, you know, whatever the models were, the guards liked them.
Yeah.
So they favored that. They went that way. But now they're all back on the same track, and Adams and Rougeau tonight did not discount it one bit. He said Kruger talked to them, and they need to all be on the same page. They need to look the same. They need to do the same things. That's all going to bring them together. And might have been a subtle thing, might have been a minor thing.
Can't discount it.
But it wasn't to them, and that's what matters. And look what happened. They played together.
And I would imagine that we're going to see them all in black the rest of the year.
Black on the road, red at home.
Red at home.
Yep.
Sounds fair.
I think that Rob talked about getting on the same page. Well, whatever page Wink is on, they should all get on that page. And then they can wear white high-top Chuck Converse All-Stars, and it wouldn't matter that much.
Bum-bum.
Well, let's move ahead, because the win, UNLV has now won two in a row after those two back-to-back road losses. They're 15-4, 3-2 in the league. BYU now 14-4, 2-2 in the league. The league standings just kind of jumbled up all over the place. TCU won tonight. They're on top, 4-1. Utah and San Diego State both at 3-1. UNLV at 3-2. At 2-2, you got BYU and New Mexico. It's BYU has really been put now in the same position that UNLV was just really a few days ago after two straight losses.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. And I think what tonight's win also does for the Rebels, it gives them a little more margin for error than they had 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Now they've got two real quality wins. So I don't know if they're going to need a margin for error, because, you know, the conference tournament's still at home. And I think it's, you know, the road to wherever you're going goes through Las Vegas.
Two quality wins.
Yeah, with Louisville and this one.
Arizona at home was pretty bad.
And that's another one. So those are wins that the committee is going to look at. So the Rebels, they just make a nice little run. I mean, maybe they don't even have to win the conference tournament now. Then maybe they just have to win two games, you know. But I said there's a little more margin for error. And I think this game is really going to, you know, the committee, they're going to look at this game. And this is the place that very few teams win. And it's going to, you know, so I think it was huge in a number of regards. And that's, you know, that's just another one.
Well, you also talked to Lon about following up a good win with a solid performance and why that matters. And it could mean a lot to this club because if they can come home, play well against Utah and win another game, they go into a week-long break feeling pretty good about themselves. What did Lon say about that?
Yeah, he said, you know, hopefully they learn from, you know, the things they didn't do last time, which is like just follow up on it, play hard again, just have another good effort. I think what helps them this time, even though Utah is a tougher opponent than TCU was, maybe at least on paper. I don't know, well, TCU's leading the league right now, but the game's at home, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge difference, you know. And I think, what's home? What do you think, guys? Home 5-6 points maybe, you know, worth at home. So
tops, maybe 3-4.
Maybe 3-4.
Yeah. Yeah. 3-4 to an average team, maybe.
Yeah.
They should have a pretty, yeah.
But I think that people, this win's going to fire up a bunch of people in Las Vegas. You know, the crowd was great the other day because of Wyoming, and I know that the tickets were cheaper and all that, but I think people are going to, they should come out and, you know, reward this team for a job well done tonight because that was impressive.
There should be a great crowd on Saturday.
What's been your experience with Saturday night crowds as opposed to Saturday afternoon crowds?
Well, I love the afternoon games just because, you know, we get more time to work. But I like afternoon baseball games too. I think in Las Vegas generally it's been at evening it does better.
A little better at
night.
The
last year they played, I remember Colorado State, they played an afternoon game. The crowd was, you know, it dropped off a little bit, but not as much as I thought. But I think what you could do, there's some people that work at casinos and nights, so different kind of people, you know, different type of fans get a chance to come to the game. So I don't think this is their decision, right? This is probably a TV deal while they're playing in the afternoon. But nonetheless, it's
well, and you can't discount the fact that coming off a victory at BYU, that's probably going to boost
gets the buzz going, yeah. Which they needed to do because if you lose a game, you know, I mean, say the second half winds up being a carbon copy of the first half and they lose this game by 25, 30 points, and you're probably looking at not quite a morgue on Saturday, but. But really nothing to scoff at as a road team.
No, because fans are kind of they're
fickle.
They're fickle. Yeah. That's exactly right. And then it'll still be that big question where I say, okay, yeah, you played pretty well against Wyoming, but you lost the two games before that. You lost this one. So there's still that question mark. Is this team worth supporting? We're not sure. You know, I think now they can be sure. This team is worth supporting and worth watching.
And just to back up a little bit, they followed up at Louisville, the New Year's Eve game, with sort of a middle-of-the-road mediocre performance at home against New Mexico.
Right. And what, they won that game by 2 points, and really
poor free throw shooting. They missed 5 of 7 toward the end, yeah.
Right. But, you know, if they play, you know, they didn't play very hard that game either. That's what I mean. See, there's something that Lon can use now. I say, hey, guys, let's not get too excited. You know what happened last time?
Two wins are three weeks apart, and they've had – look at the world of experiences they've had in those 3 weeks as far as, you know, having the cautious win and then the two low points, you know, and then picking it back up all within a span of 3 weeks. Maybe, you know, you get those two wins that close together. I think Lon definitely has something to work with there mentally with this team.
You know, you guys spend more time around these guys, and maybe this is a time where it's really important for to have some of that leadership that maybe has been lacking a little bit. I think Wink, maybe it's his body language, his demeanor, it looks like he's been more demonstrative the last two games. And so maybe he's going to assume that role that maybe a guy like Terry had last year and Kevin Kruger the year before.
Well,
they need that guy.
What ignited that was the layup line fiasco at Colorado State.
Yeah.
He would have
said
something about that, except another senior was taking part in it, Rene Rujo. And you know what? It was funny. I was watching the layup line tonight, and there was guys dunking. They just weren't doing the Circus Harlem Globetrotter act.
There was no chatter, no laughing.
So it was a much more professional effort. But off of that, Wink said no more. Anything like that, I'm going to take them by the scruff of the neck, even if it's a senior, and they're going to know how I feel.
Yeah.
And Wink is speaking up all across the board more. He likes to be. He's a quiet guy, but he knows that now his career is coming to a close, and he told me the other day that he does not want to be sitting at home in March watching March Madness. They want to be watching it and taking part in it, and so he'll be saying whatever needs to be said from here on out.
And that said, he's really embracing what he's done best. You know, he said tonight, you know, he was saying, you know, the first part of the season, I was really reluctant to drive to the basket. I was relying on the 3-point ball too much. And now I think maybe, you know, do you think maybe those two losses maybe set a sense of urgency off with him? Because at that point, it looks like a very real possibility that if things don't get in line, this team's not going to be taking part in March Madness. Maybe that set something off.
It probably made him hustle to get back to his former self. Remember, he was trying to rehab that lower ab strain, and so
you just say screw it.
And well, you know, and, yeah, and he's trying to get back to his old self while the ship is sort of starting to sink. So you talk about a sense of urgency. It is really it stuck with them. And you know, we really can't mitigate the whole thing with the shoes either. Again, it might look minor, but it isn't. You know, they do have to be on the same page. And one thing that really was also striking tonight was halftime.
Yeah.
Apparently, before Kruger went in there, Lou Hill poked an eye in there to see what they were saying, see how they looked, to see how they were carrying themselves, to check their demeanors. And he said there was no doubt about it. They were composed. They had that look in their eyes. So you're starting to look at some seniors take control. These guys are getting it together. And, you know, Tom Izzo, the great coach at Michigan State, always liked having that locker room lawyer. Well, you got a couple of them who are starting to develop right now, and boy, who knows what the rest of it could help hold.
Yeah, I think, you know, my sense of it, that Wink wasn't totally comfortable with that. Like Rob said, he's kind of a quiet guy. And then I think what he said is also rings true, that when you're not playing very well, or maybe you're injured, or you're not leading by a performance, it's hard for a guy to kind of, take the team by the scruff of his neck and say, hey, follow me. Well, you could say, well, you know, what are you doing recently? You know, I mean, hey, maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're not playing well. And then you combine those two things with the guy's kind of quiet to begin with, you know. But like Rob says, if he's worried about going out with a flourish and doesn't want to be watching, then maybe he says, like, hey, I'm going to speak up a little bit now while, you know, I could still have an impact before it's too late, basically.
Yep.
And because if you're sitting at home,
no,
you said,
regretting
hey,
anything,
if somebody,
yeah,
if I could have showed some leadership and this team could have won these key games that we needed to win to get to where I want to go and remember my career, you kick yourself in the rear end for not saying anything. So now he's saying something.
Well, I think he's very cognizant also of the fact that his teammates know him too and know his style and demeanor. And so even now when he does say something, it's going to carry that extra weight. And so they damn well know he's going to mean it because he does mean it.
Well, that's the thing. I think like players are probably maybe like kids. You know, most kids want that father figure or somebody to tell you what to do or tell you how to act, and they want that. Sometimes they don't get it, but most people generally want it. And so I think maybe just the guys waiting for, like, well, who are we going to follow? You know, who are we going to rally around? So it, you know, maybe it just takes somebody just to step up and say, hey, I'm the guy, follow me, and maybe he's going to be that guy. So.
And there was a lot to follow tonight in the second half with his power drives to the hoop.
Man.
You know, he was getting to the line,
right,
and they had more free throws tonight than they have in all season, the whole season in the second half. They had 17 in the second half. They were 17 for 23. Only one other time this season did they attempt 23 free throws in the second half, and that was in the opener against San Diego. So there was some impact there.
Yeah, you know, we were talking earlier. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the Kansas game last year where he just
said,
I don't
this
know how
is
many
how I'm
going
to have
score.
To score.
That's the only way he was going to score against those guys. And he just said,
he
hey,
put
I'm
up 25.
Go. Right.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of that a little bit. He was just so, you know, he was just attacking the whole night.
And against BYU in the Mountain West tournament last year.
Exactly. So, boy, if he plays like that, in the game against Wyoming, those are two nice efforts from him.
Yep.
So, you know.
It's quite a springboard. And, like we said, they will be back in action on Saturday at the MAC at 1 p.m. against Utah. Guys, before we get out of here, let's go around and what do you expect? What kind of UNLV team are you expecting to show up? Because we look back at Saturday, the 40 minutes of hustle, and then tonight they were a little stale for a half. Are you expecting any kind of carryover in terms of that? Are you expecting another 40 minutes of hell effort?
Here's what I would, you know, I'm not a coach, don't play one on TV, and I didn't stay at a Motel 6 last or a Holiday Inn last night. I'm staying at a Marriott tonight.
Ba-dum-bum.
But here's what I think they should do, because I saw Utah play on TV a couple times. They're good, and they're getting better.
Yeah.
And they got a big guy in the middle that's really improved, I think. He's really a sweet player for this Luke Neville, 7'1", 7'2", whatever he is. But I think if the Rebels extend their defense – and pressure Utah guards and keep them from getting the ball into their sets and getting the ball Neville on his spots and where he wants it, I think they'll be just fine in that game. Because Utah doesn't really have a true point guard. They got, you know, they're kind of, it's a point guard by committee, and Durka's handling the ball a lot. And he's really a two, if you ask me. He's a good shooter, you know. But I think if they can increase the tempo and push them out a little bit, I think the big guy won't be as big a factor as he's been recently. So that's what I think they should do.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Who knows with this team?
How about that?
That's true.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. All I know is I think it's a real big plus for the Rebels to have gotten 26 points out of Kendall Wallace in the past four games. Earlier in the season, he had 27 in a stretch of four. So hit a couple big threes tonight, and it's starting to look like he is going to be a reliable bench. I don't want to say force, but contributor.
He's the microwave.
I mean, 2-3 pointers a night by that guy.
Yeah,
that's big time, and
that's earning your scholarship.
You're seeing someone really starting to blossom.
And wait, props for our guy Willis tonight. Nobody talked about him. He kept him in the game the first half. I mean, without him, you know, I don't know where the Rebels are at halftime, but it's not even 13 points. I mean, and you know, I mean, most of his points came in the first half, right? Whereas
nine of his 13.
The second half.
But he was active on the boards, only turned it over once, and he was controlling the ball quite a bit, especially in the first
half. That's one turnover in two games now, so that's real decent. And I think any UNLV student listening to this, that's why that guy is dribbling around that tennis ball around campus, which he told us a couple days ago.
And finally, you really can't undersell Darius Santee tonight, 5 of 8, 11 points, only 2 rebounds. But, boy, was he was a lot more active. In terms of just getting up off the ground, almost putting his hand on the backboard, going after some balls. Haven't seen him do that in stretches like he did tonight for quite a while. Maybe. I mean, this is totally cautious. Maybe coming out of that shell, but it was an encouraging sign to see.
You just want to see him get to the point where he can keep the other guys honest. He needs to score. He needs to mix it up. He needs to get a putback now and then. He did that tonight. That was his game tonight. If he can do that, and
Some slick moves on offense.
Takes Lou Hill kind of lighting a fire under him, and Lou's shirt certainly has over the last week, and that's what you saw tonight.
Yeah,
but I think that's all. It's anything they get from that five positions, just really. It's got to where it's a bonus, you know. Not that those guys aren't capable of doing it, but they got to have a little consistency. But yeah, tonight is effort. You take that any night from the
15 points, 5 rebounds. You'll take that. Heck yeah,
monster. That's what you want.
Absolutely. You know, so. Hey, let me ask you something real quick, Ron. You've been around the game quite a bit. Trayvon Willis is dribbling a tennis ball around campus lately to improve his ball handling and his focus and sharpness. You ever heard anybody do that? You know of anybody who's done that kind of practice?
The only thing I can think of, I don't know about basketball. There's this Fred Dalimore, the old baseball coach at UNLV, did something that's kind of similar. Matt Williams, that played for the Rebels, became a heck of a major league player, had bad hands, and so he put a ping pong racket instead of a glove. He made him use a ping pong paddle as a glove, and it kind of in practice he couldn't use his glove. He just used, and it made him pull his hands in to feel the ground ball, and he got softer hands. And I think. Maybe it's a psychological thing, but it's any little of these, you know, I think that's kind of similar, you know, some little aid, and it's going to give the guy a little more confidence, you know. And I think in this game, in Matt Williams' case, he said it definitely helped him become a better fielder, you know. And so part of it, I think, you know, maybe it helps him a little bit psychologically. He thinks he's improving himself, so I think it's a good thing. It's, you know, it's fun to talk about. It's different, you know.
And Willis was doing it early in the season. He got away from it, and he's smart enough to recognize the fact that he better go back to it because there's some things he needs to be sharp.
You ever try it's hard to dribble a tennis ball. You ever try it before? It's not that easy. So
tried dribbling a racquetball. It's not fun.
I couldn't even dribble basketball very well. That's why I write about it and stuff.
And that's why you talk about it, Ron. It's great.
I still dribble my baby food. But I'm bum.
And Ron, it's great having you tonight on the Rebel Room. You will be making appearances here for the rest of the season.
Well,
we
you know
looking
what?
Forward to it.
Tonight was one of the nights where you know, I could have been a steel worker, I could have sold cars. But I'm glad this was fun. This was a great. It was
beats working.
Exactly. It was fun to watch, and it was a great college atmosphere, and it makes you. Makes you glad you're in the business.
Rob, any final comments?
Can't wait to get out of this town.
Not come back till next year. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Rob Mish, Ron Kantowski. I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room. We will talk to you on Saturday. Take care.